I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Spending a few minutes now with Sam Carcitti and Wayne Fish. They are in studio, and they are here to talk about their new book, Philadelphia Flyers, The Big 50. And it's a great look at the history, some great moments, players, stuff like that a lot, and we'll get into it, that kind of make up what the Philadelphia Flyers are all about. Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I'll start with... Well, I'll throw this out here, whoever wants to take it. So where does the idea for this book start? Is this something that somebody comes to you and says, we're interested? Is this something you guys pursue? How did it come together?
Yeah, to be honest, Triumph Books came to us, and they're doing this with all the professional hockey teams. And so they came to us, and we put it together mostly in the summer and had a good time doing it. And it's a book not just about the Flyers' history in the past and their success. They haven't won a Stanley Cup now in, 44 years. But it's also about the present. And we talk a lot about the Gossis Bears and the Konechnys and chapters on them and Provorov and Carter Hart even and a lot of off-the-wall stuff like Gritty and things like that. And we have a piece in there on Lauren Hart singing goodbye to Ed Snyder in an emotional farewell before a playoff game. So I just don't want people to think it's just a book about the Stanley Cup Flyers, because it's far from that.
So, Wayne, where did you guys start? I mean, obviously they come to you and here's what we're looking for. How did you guys kind of start to, you know, idea bank what was going to be in, what was not going to be in? How did it start to put it together?
Sam deserves credit for that in terms of, he laid out what he felt were the 50 most compelling stories here. It's about the men and the moments. So some of these are about players. Others are about things like the draft or trades or where they fit into popular culture. Gene Hart, who wasn't a player, but was an announcer. And so I think what we were looking for was trying to get information that maybe the average fan or even the hardcore fan didn't know about. And in interviewing these players, I learned something, and I've been down there since the dinosaurs walked the earth. So, I mean, for me, it was an eye-opening experience in that I would find this little nugget that I didn't know about, and that's what I wanted to get into the book right away, is that we know about Mark Howe, for instance, and the fact that he was nearly paralyzed when he slid into the old-fashioned net. And then I find out that, you know, there were moments there where he said, you know, he needed help in terms of people giving him support, his family, his dad, who is famous, Mr. Hockey. So these are things that I didn't really know. And so those are things I wanted to get out there into the book.
So, Sam, when you're putting to get to 50, I'm sure you didn't just write, okay, 1 to 50, these are the things. You know, how long, you know, when you're still first putting the list together, how long is it approximately, and how did you kind of start paring it down to get to where you needed to be?
Yeah, it probably was about 75 or 80, and it was difficult to pare it to 50. But the nice thing is we have a lot of sidebars. I think we have 50 sidebars, too. So the ones that make the big 50, they made sidebars. And, you know, Gritty, for instance, is a sidebar. He doesn't get a full chapter, but... sorry to disappoint the Gritty fans out there, but he gets a big hunk of press too because of his popularity. And you know, we have like a sidebar on all the announcers and some names that people have long been forgotten. And you know, I would have liked to have made that a chapter, but there's just so many iconic moments you don't realize it. You know, from the 5 overtime game to beating Boston in 2010 after overcoming the 3-0 deficit, and you know, the firing of Dave Haxtell. We go behind the scenes with the Dave Haxtell firing, how that really came about, and they really have an interesting history. They do. And we had a real good time putting it together. But you're right. It was difficult to narrow it down to 50.
Not specifically with a book, but when I start to catalog stuff either in my mind or for a story or something, I'll start off with one or two, and then kind of the floodgates open, and one memory leads to another, and that leads to two others, and I can't forget this. Was it kind of similar for you?
Yeah, I think so, and Wayne was a great person to lean on because he's been there for 44 years, the Flyers, and I've been only covering them for 12. I started following them their first year in 67, just as a young fan. But Wayne has been there through thick and thin, and he was a great resource because he had firsthand experience, for a lot of those years.
Wayne, you mentioned, some of the smaller stories that you had kind of were able to dig into. As you start kind of reflecting and going through the memory bank and old stories and old clips, was there a relatively big story that you kind of realized that you had kind of, I don't want to say forgot, but that had been pushed aside and you're like, wow, I forgot how impactful something like that XYZ was?
I think Paul Holmgren is probably one name that jumps out at me. And I knew that he had been here as long as I have, back to the 70s. And I knew that he had been through some adversity. But in actually writing a story for the Hockey News a couple of years ago, I stumbled on the fact that there was much more to the story about him nearly losing an eye. And I know that's gruesome and I know that stuff, but if you watch hockey, you know that people lose teeth. People, sometimes they have eye injuries and, other bad injuries. And I think fans want to know about the recovery. They want to know, how did he come back and make it so far back? And so I did that more research on Holmgren, the fact that he nearly died on an operating table in Boston because of a allergy to an anesthesia, which put him in anaphylactic shock. And they actually had his parents flown in from Minnesota. It looked like he wasn't going to make it. They had to bring electric in and stimulate his heart to get him going again. So he makes it through that. He comes back, has a great career, first American player to score a hat trick in the Stanley Cup Finals. And since then, he's been in a position of things like general manager and president of the team. And what he is known for now is giving players a second chance. So what I wanted to know was, in writing that story and in writing a previous story, was how did he come upon the fact that this tie into that, the fact that someone upstairs gave him a second chance? And that's what it is. It's the fact that he realizes now that people who have problems away from the ice, be it situations, as you know, that you can have problems with substance abuse or whatever, he's willing to take chances on those players and try to, quote, rehab those players because he was given a second chance. He feels he should pay that forward. So that's one that came out at me right at the beginning when we first started the project. I said, that's one I'm going to get into the book.
And Ray Emery is a good example of that. Yeah. Ray Emery had some problems off the ice, and Paul Holmgren, to his credit, took a chance on him twice, as a matter of fact. He was back here twice. So, it's credit to Paul Holmgren for doing that and giving a lot of players for the years a second chance, like Wayne said.
So it's the big 50, but I know something we were talking about off the air is this isn't, moment 50 to player number one. This isn't, because I think we see numbers on books like this in today's media society, and we are conditioned that it's some kind of a countdown or something like that. But you guys are quick. No, that's not what it is. It's just 50. That's the number of these moments, men, players that are in
there. Yeah, exactly. And the chapters are listed because of just the chronology, the fact that you're starting at the beginning and then you're moving how the team was formed and moving forward. But, it's not, like I said, if it was a popularity contest, you might have one of the Flyers that currently popular might be somewhere in the top five or top ten. It's just that's the order that was presented.
Yeah, and as you said, people think it's a countdown. I've had people on Facebook say to me, who's number one or what event is number one? Is Clark number one? Is this Stanley Cup number one? You're right. It's not like that. It's what we thought were the 50 greatest moments. Some of them were just the 50 quirky, some quirky things. Not the 50 quirky things, but we had some fun with it too. And one chapter I did was like that. We talked about it a little bit off the air. It's the Flyers and pop culture. And I thought that was fascinating because It's how the Flyers' now iconic logo was spread all throughout not only North America but all over the world, really. And there are people behind that. Like Ike Richmond worked for the Flyers for years, and he was a behind-the-scenes guy. When you see the Goldbergs, when you see Always Sunny in Philadelphia, David Boreanaz in Bones and SEAL Team, and you see the Flyers jersey or somebody wearing a Flyers cap, there's a lot that goes on to make sure they get that. Like you'll be watching the Goldbergs, and you'll see a Flyers pennant hanging up in the background. And, somebody recommended that. Or in David Boreanaz's case, he's a diehard Flyers mm-hmm. fan. And whenever we go to L.A., we see him because he's in the locker room and he knows everybody now. But and not only TV shows or movies, the Unabomber actually is another one. That's kind of off the wall. The good guy in the Unabomber is wearing a Flyers jersey that's chasing the bad guy, I should say. But bands from Metallica to Fish, Dave Matthews Band, Garth Brooks, Ozzy Osbourne, go on and on, Taylor Swift, they have worn Flyers caps, Flyers jerseys, and inevitably they're filmed, and that film goes all around the world, and the Flyers logo then goes all around the world, and that means something to the Flyers. There's people that, pay attention to that, and they want their brand spread, so... I really found that chapter fascinating because it's just something that you don't really think of until you do a little research on it.
And it's what that spawned from, that Broad Street Bullies and the bad boy image that they got. So when you see that logo out there, there's a good chance that represents sort of like counter thinking. In other words, up until that time, it was a gentleman's sport, so mm-hmm. to speak, until 1972. The Flyers just flipped that over and said, you know what, we're going to come out here, we're going to beat you any way we can. We'll score goals, but we'll also knock you down. And, we know the story of how the bad St. Louis Blues and the Bruins are always beating up the Flyers. So Keith Allen and Ed Snyder got together and said, no more of this. We're going to put together a bad ASS team. And they are – that thinking moved on after that generation moved on. The logo stayed – still represented what that meant to this city, and sort of like it was us against them. The Flyers at that point, kind of, there hadn't been a championship for a while. I think it was the Eagles were 1960.
Right.
So the city needed a champion, and they got one. And it's sort of like it's a blue collar town. The Flyers represented that blue collar ethic, and I think that even that lives today, as Sam mentioned, that you see it on a lot of these things where, they're sort of like characters that that represent strength and mean attitude.
So I would imagine, you guys are both obviously very learned about the Flyers, but when you start doing deep dives for books like this, was there anyone who you have a new appreciation for the impact that they had on this franchise after going through the process of putting this book? Anyone that, I don't want to say you sold short, but maybe you didn't quite realize how much they meant or the impact they had? Anybody jump out?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the impact on the franchise or the impact on the NHL. Wayne Simmons is one of those guys for me because, growing up, he told me that Willie O'Ree was his hero. For people who don't know Willie O'Ree, he was the first black player in the NHL, played in the 50s for the Bruins, and Wayne Simmons credits him. He says, if it wasn't Willie O'Ree, I wouldn't be in the NHL because he opened the door for me, and he got me interested in the sport. And Willie O'Ree, I happened to be there in the locker room that day. Willie O'Ree was in Philadelphia. He was doing a clinic. He works for the NHL now. And Wayne Simmons, it was very cool to be there. Wayne Simmons went over to him and gave him a big hug, and they talked for a while. Willie O'Ree was basically the Jackie Robinson of the NHL. And it was just great to see the interaction between the two. And Wayne Simmons was like a 10-year-old kid again. And he told me when he was in school, when he was 10 or 11, he did book reports on Willie O'Ree. It was just neat to find out, how he got interested in hockey and he, of course, made a huge impact on the Flyers. We all know that. And then was traded. Now he's with New Jersey. But That was one of them. That was a special moment, and then we have a whole chapter devoted to the two of them.
Yeah, and for me, Brian Propp. Now, he was a very good player with the Flyers, and spent many years playing hockey here. But just recently, in the last 3 years, he suffered a massive stroke, and I spent quite a bit of time with him both before and after, and it's just remarkable how well he has, how hard he's worked, and how far he's come to get where he is now. And if you ask anybody on the Flyers back to the first day of this franchise, they know who he is, and they know what he went through, and he is an inspiration. And now he's working with American Brain Injury. I apologize if I don't have this right. American Brain Injury Association, I believe that's right, to make sure that people understand symptoms, early warning signs. And he's been the speaker at our sports banquet for the Bucks County Courier-Times for a couple of years now. And people in the audience, I mean, no one's talking. No one's looking at their phone. Eyes are getting a little moist when he tells his story of how he recovered from this stroke and how many hours he put in. And now, if you look at him, you almost wouldn't know. I mean, he plays golf. He plays hockey. He had to learn how to re-sign his autograph because it affected his left side. So he had to learn how to sign with his right hand. And first time I was out with him was on Bill Clement's radio show at Chickie and Pete's, and he was signing autographs, and it was amazing that he was able to do that. Try that sometime. Try writing your name with the wrong
hand. I couldn't do it.
With the wrong hand. You can't do it.
I can barely do it with the right hand.
So he learned it. And so for me, he's a big inspiration. And I'm sure he's a big inspiration for the fans and for the whole organization.
And he, of course, was the Philadelphia Sports Writer Association's most courageous athlete a few years ago. And as Wayne said, just a wonderful story and a wonderful man.
For both of you, favorite part of putting this together? Was it the actual writing, the research, people you got to talk to, working? What was it?
Yeah, probably a little bit of all that combined, and it was great to get updates on the former players and what they're doing now, and some have turned their lives around and they're completely away from hockey. Some are still connected to hockey, but as Wayne said. As you're doing research, you find a nugget and you're like, I didn't know that. And then you expound on it and you make a couple more phone calls. And we're still learning. I mean, we've been in this business for a long time and it's always fun to learn something. So I think we both learned a lot, through the whole process. And it's satisfying to see it finally all come together because it's like putting together a puzzle and you don't really know how it's going to fit. But, hopefully the readers will enjoy it, and hopefully all the pieces fit together.
For me, it's the stories. I mean, I when you sit down and talk to players, you want information. You want to find out. You want them to say, yeah, he was a great guy. He was a good player, all the technical stuff. And then you find out these little stories. Mark Howe said that his first shift with the Flyers after he was traded from the Hartford Whalers, he was breaking through center ice, and Paul Holmgren sent him a pass, but the puck deflected and hit him in the eye, so he – had to go to the locker room and get stitched up. And while he was sitting there getting stitched up, the game was over and Holmgren came by and he goes, are you okay? And Mark goes, yeah, I'll be all right. And Paul goes, you really should learn how to accept a pass better. And it's stuff like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it takes a while. To Sam and to the credit of Sam and myself, the only way you're going to get that information is if you sit down with someone, look them in the eye, and you spend – of time with them. In other words, not just 3 minutes, like the interviews that we do every day for 3 minutes. It's sitting down, getting relaxed, and then tell me about Mike Keenan. Tell me some of the backstories that I don't know. And that's how you get those sorts of stories and get a little laugh. And like I said before earlier, those are things I didn't know. And those are the ones, when I read a book, I want to learn what I don't know.
Right.
I already know a lot of stuff, but I may find 5 or 10 things that I didn't know, and that's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, and as both of you guys, like, a beat is a grind, and it had to be, I can only imagine it had to be, like, refreshing, rewarding to be able to work on something like this that was under your umbrella of expertise but different from what you're doing every day. Just had to be like a breath of fresh air, right?
It was, and we should give, you know, the people that helped us out a lot of credit, including the great PR staff led by Zach Hill at the with the Philadelphia Flyers, because you know, hockey players get it. You know, they're very cooperative and low-key people. A lot of them come from small towns. And, you know, I think some athletes in different sports have that entitlement. For the most part, hockey players don't have that. So you know, props to all the former Flyers and current Flyers. They really did a great job of being there for us.
People want to get the book. It's out now. It's available, correct?
It is. It's in bookstores, and it's available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com, TriumphBooks.com, and we have a couple of book signings coming up. So, yeah, we're excited about it. And, yeah, it just came out in early November, and we hope it does well for Christmas. That's the goal.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you said book signings. You had a date for one. I think it was in Wayne coming up?
Yeah, we do. We have one coming up. Let me pull it up here. We have one coming up at the Main Point Books in Wayne, Pennsylvania, November 23rd at 1 p.m. And then real quick, for those in the Ben Salem area, December 1st at 2 o'clock. And for South people who live in South Jersey, we'll be at the Deptford Barnes & Noble on December 21st. And yeah, they can look at my Twitter page at Broad Street Bull. I have a list of all of them. We have several on there. I won't go through all of them, but we have several that are listed on Twitter. And appreciate you giving us time to mention it.
Philadelphia Flyers, the Big 50, the book, Sam Carcitti, Wayne Fish, the authors. Gentlemen, this was fun. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Matt.
Appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.